You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 12. I know last year I taught a series on Father Abraham, and I'm not dealing with that necessarily today, but I do want to bring out something in these verses. You know, if we're connected in any way to anybody in the Old Testament other than our sin through Adam, which hopefully you're not connected to that anymore because now you're in Christ, amen? In Adam all die, in Christ all made alive, the Bible says. So my connection now with God is through Christ. But if we're going to look at the Old Testament for types and shadows or look for symbols or connections in the Old Testament, if anything the Bible says, it says that Abraham's our father. It never says that Moses is our father. You ever notice that? He's never called Father Moses. It's Father Abraham, Father Abraham. And what you and I are experiencing today, this promise of righteousness or right standing with God, which you and I have, are Christians, we're believers, our sins are forgiven, our sins have been atoned for, as it were. Our father in the Old Testament would be Father Abraham. Wouldn't be Father Moses, are you with me? In fact, Moses came on a little later. The promise of righteousness or right standing with God did not come through the law, did not come through Moses, did not come through any of that. It came through Abraham. Actually, that's what Paul makes a great case for that in Galatians, the fourth chapter, in Romans, the fourth chapter, and, all the book of Galatians, all the book of Romans. And then even the writer of Hebrews talks about it in Hebrews, the seventh chapter. Actually, our connection is through Abraham, long before the law, long before all the feast and all the things that were instituted and the commandments and so on and so forth. He made a promise to a man called Abraham, and Abraham believed, and his faith was counted to him for righteousness, is what the scripture says. And the Bible says that he is our father in that respect. I mean, he's Father Abraham. We're all the children of Abraham by faith. That's what the scripture says in Galatians. Paul says that in Galatians. And so that's our connection. It's not through the Jewish faith. It's not through the Jewish nation. It's through Abraham's faith. Abraham, who was not a Jew, long before there were any Jews. Abraham was a wanderer. He was a habiru. The word means wanderer, which we get the word Hebrew from. But the word Jew actually comes from Judah, who is the son of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. So there were no 12 tribes, there were no Jews, there was no Jewish nation. There was just Abraham, a man God made a promise to. Amen? And so when we look to the Old Testament, if we connect it all to the Old Testament, it wouldn't obviously not be through the law. The law's passed away. Now, I'm not talking about the commandments. I'm not talking about not stealing, not killing, you know, those kinds of things. That's universal. But our connection is through Abraham, our father Abraham. There's a song we used to sing in Children's Church at Lakewood. I think we used to sing it here too. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, so are you, as we go marching on. Right foot. Then you just keep singing it. Father Abraham. And then it goes, left foot. Then right arm, then left arm. You know how it goes, but anyway. We're all the children of Abraham by faith. Now, obviously, literally, we're the children of God. Literally, we're born again. Literally, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. But what Jesus came to fulfill was not just requirements of the law. He didn't meet those. But he came to bring to pass a promise that God made to Abraham way back. Amen. Actually, 430 years before the law. And Galatians tells us that we all received the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ. The context of that was righteousness, right standing with God. Hallelujah. That promise that God made with him, he fulfilled it in Christ. Praise God. And we are all the children of Abraham by faith, in the sense that we have that promise of eternal life. Anyway, Genesis 12, let's turn there. Genesis 12, 1, I want to read just the first three verses and expound on that. I want to teach on the fact that you and I are called to be a blessing. Everybody say, to be a blessing. Okay. Now, I know I'm called to be blessed. I understand that. But that's not the ultimate end or goal of that. Actually, to be blessed is a means to an end. The end is to be a blessing. Amen? Amen. In fact, if I'm helped in any way, I should use that help to help others. Yeah. Paul said, I comfort you with the comfort wherewith I'm comforted with. You know, so I have an obligation. We who have an obligation to those that don't have. Not because the government says so, not because of some law, but because we are Christians and we are believers. Amen? I don't need the government to tell me to give to people. I don't need the government to make a law that I have to either. Because when they make a law I have to, they take away my the virtue called charity. Hello? one fell swoop, that's what we've done with taxation. You know, we've come in here and demanded that those that have give to those that have not. So those that have are mad about giving, and those that have not are demanding the right. And so in just one fell swoop, we've got rid of charity and we've got rid of gratitude. Hello? Because people that receive it aren't grateful. They feel like they demand it and they need it and it's their right. People that are giving aren't happy about giving it because they feel like they have to and they don't have a choice. Hello? And really, it's always the rich have always taken care of the poor. Those that have always taken care of those that have not. But we used to do it because we loved it and because it was right to do it because God said so. And people that received it were grateful and thankful because they knew we didn't have to. And now all that's gone. There's my political soapbox for the day. So if you walk in here and say we shouldn't help the poor, you missed the whole point. We should help the poor. We do that as a church. We help the poor. Are you with me? I just don't think the government should. And I stand on that. I don't think it's the government's job to do that. I think it's our job to do that. I think it's people that have's job to give to those that don't have. And shame on you for not helping poor people. Now, you say, well, I am helping them. You are if you're paying taxes. But you kind of have to do that. Are you with me? I believe in a better system. I believe the way it was, well, for quite some time in this country before that happened. But let me get off that. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said to Abram. Everybody say Abram. Abram. Now that's interesting. I don't have time to get into all that. But Abram's name before God changed it to Abraham was Abram. And when God changed it to Abraham, that's when Abram began to see himself the way God saw him, and then within a year he had Isaac. He didn't believe God for 25 years. He only really got in faith the last year, and God finally had to change his name to make that happen. But at this point he was Abram. He was 75 years old. And he said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you. I love that. Sometimes you have to separate yourself from your kindred, those that don't serve God, those that don't know God, those that are antagonistic. You love them, you pray for them, you show up at family reunions, you go at Christmas and holidays, but you probably don't hang out with them if they're not believing in Jesus. Are you with me? Yeah. You know, you do respect and you give honor where honor's due, but I know when I got saved, I couldn't really hang around all my relatives just because of the nature of what they believed and what I believed. I loved them and I did honor to them and so on and so forth and prayed for them, and I've seen them get saved over the years. Are you with me? But I fellowship with those who like faith, and sometimes church family is more family than regular family. Are you with me? And I wish it weren't the case. I wish it were the other way. But sometimes you have to make those tough choices. You never stop loving. You never stop honoring. Does that make sense? Yeah. This is not an excuse for you to run away from your family. No, I'm not saying that. You need to honor your family, respect your family. But as grown-ups, as people that have our own lives and we're living our lives, even a hog will quit going to slop if you keep hitting them on the head with a two before. So if you're just antagonizing every time you get together, you know, you need to back off and pray for them and do your honor and do the right thing on holidays and call in on birthdays and so on and so forth. But you may have to back off some fellowship if they're not serving God, because you cannot antagonize and influence at the same time. Are you with me? Okay, I want to make that clear. I love my relatives, and you should love yours. You never stop that. But there has to be a time sometime when Lot has to split from Abraham. Let not this strife be between us. You can't continually pour gas on a fire. You have to sometimes back away. Yes. Amen? Well, in this case, it was even worse than that. In fact, we know from the scripture that Abraham's relatives actually served other gods. That's what Joshua tells us. He was in Ur of the Chaldees, and he served other gods. And it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country. He had to get out of that environment. He had to get out of that influence because it was influencing him. And he said, get out of that country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. Because you're not going to see it as long as you're there. You're going to be so influenced by what's going on there that your eyes are never going to be open. You'll continually be blinded by this until you get out of this environment. Sometimes you have to get out of a mess to see daylight. You have to get out of the forest to see the trees. Sure is quiet in here. But if you'll make the step, if you'll serve God, sometimes alone if you have to. I hope you're not alone. That's what church is about. You know, you don't have to be alone. You can get around other people that are serving Him. But if you'll make that decision, your eyes will be opened. You'll begin to see all that God has for you, and you'll find out what God has for you is good. God's future for you is brighter than you think it is. God's desire for you and your family is much better than your desire had been, or your imagination even could be. Because sometimes it's just better than I could even dream or imagine. Woo! Amen? And then he begins to tell them what he's going to do. He says, I'll take you to land that I'm going to show you. And then what I call, or has been called in commentaries, people have said it many times, is the sevenfold blessing of Abraham. Because there are seven things that God says he would do here. And he starts out and he says, I will make you a great nation. Oh, hallelujah. Well, that's a pretty big circle of influence, amen? That's also bigger than just yourself. That's more than just a Lone Ranger. You and Tonto, Kimosabe. That's a great nation. Hallelujah. And that could be a great nation to us, you know, in it could be business, it could be influence of family, it could be church, it could be friends in church, the body of Christ, and so on and so forth. Make you a great nation, hallelujah. I actually have a much bigger family than I ever did before I got saved. Amen. And numerically and personal biological family, and also spiritually speaking in church. Amen. I mean, God bless me. So in that sense, he's expanded my horizons. He's expanded my influence. And all of you who have been a part of International Outreach Church, your family's gotten bigger because now we're part of that family. And everything we do has to do with you. Amen. All of us together are making all this happen. Woo! What an influence now that we have that we didn't have before. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. Oh, glory to God. Can you say amen, somebody? Amen. Now think about it. This is just Abraham. This is something God promised to him. This is not near as good as we have it in Christ. This is before Jesus died. This Abraham wasn't even born again. This is a promise that God made to Abraham that he would do for him and through him. And then, of course, he refers back to this in the New Covenant. Paul does over and over and over that we receive the blessing of Abraham through Christ. So however it was with him, it's greater with us. You know, I don't think we realize many times how blessed Abraham was. It is staggering to think about how blessed he was. And at one point in the 14th chapter of Genesis, the Bible tells us that when Lot was captured by the kings of Kedemlah up north, they'd come down to Sodom and Gomorrah and taken over kings there and taken over lands there, and they abducted everyone in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot was there. And word came back to Abram that Lot had been captured. It says that Abraham got his 318 trained men, trained for war, born in his house, and he went after them. Now, I don't know if you've ever done the math on that, but Abraham wasn't running around with Sarah, Lot, in a pup tent, two sheep and a cow. He actually had, born in his house, 318 men trained for war. Now, it wasn't a lot different back then. If they were born in his house, they had parents. Okay? Probably wasn't a lot different back then. They had parents. And they didn't have one child homes. This was not China. Hello. In fact, if you look at some of these genealogies, man, they'd have 7 or 8 or 9 kids, and that's just the boys listed. Hardly ever listed the girls. So they'd have several kids, you know, several children. And these guys weren't kids themselves. They were trained for war. So they were at least, you know, 18, 19, whatever, I don't know, or at least that, and some probably up higher than that. 318 of them trained for war. They probably were married. Some of them, many of them were married, I'm sure. I'm not speculating. I'm just telling you what probably is the case. I mean, you look at it, how can it not be? They had brothers, they had sisters, they had mothers, they had fathers. In fact, if you do a conservative estimate on that and look at it, it's probably somewhere around 2,000 people that were traveling around with Abraham. So much so that he actually frightened kings when he would go into their lands. They were afraid that he'd take over their lands. They made covenants with him. Go read it. Go read the scripture. See, we need to tweak our thinking into the scriptural thinking, biblical thinking. If you're going to look at it literally, not according to religious teaching you've heard, and you just take what the Bible says about Abraham, he had a huge troop of people that he carried around with him. A huge troop. 318 men trained for war, born in his house. All came out of families, all of them, you know. Wow. To me, that's just amazing. I guess he did bless them, didn't he? He did bless them. I mean, he was a force to be reckoned with everywhere he went. He was noticed by kings when he would go places and pharaohs when he'd go places. So he said, I'll make you a great nation. Well, you think he already was one, but he was talking about what he's going to do through Isaac, what he's going to do through Jacob, what he's going to go do through those 12 sons that he had, you know. And he said, I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Oh, my. That's one point I want to center in on, is that he called him, just like he called us, to be a blessing. And everything else leads up to that. I mean, if your eyes are open, it's so you can help the blind. Are you with me? If your feet can walk, then that's to help the cripple. Whatever you came out of, you should use that to help those that are still in what you came out of. Think about it that way. And he says, thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curse thee. And in you all families or all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Woohoo! Now that would be Wills Pointites, Elmoites, Edgewoodites, Terrellites, and points unknown. That's all of us are blessed in Abraham. Hallelujah. So if you look back at all this, everyone that's ever get saved started really with Abraham, a promise that God made to Abraham that in him all nations would be blessed. All of us. Thank God for Israel. We pray for Israel. I believe we pray for the peace of Jerusalem is what the Bible says to do. We should support Israel as a nation and as a church. We should pray for them and lift them up that they'd be saved. But let's don't make any mistake here that God has some kind of favorites here. God favors us in Christ. And any Jew that accepts Jesus as a Christian and every Gentile that accepts Jesus as a Christian, are you with me? And our connection to Abraham is not through Judaism. It is through our faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, somebody. And in Christ, hallelujah, we have this promise that God will make us a great nation. God will bless us. God will make our name great. God will cause us to be a blessing. Amen. God will bless those that bless us, curse those that curse us, and in us shall all nations of the earth or families there be blessed. People are blessed just by being around. People are blessed when you show up. Businesses are blessed that you work for or own. Are you with me? Why? Because you're a Christian. Amen. You're a believer. That's your destiny, is to be a blessing. Your destiny is to help suffer and sigh and die in humanity. Your destiny is to be in your neighborhood. That neighborhood's safer because you're there. Are you with me? We've got to see this thing the right way. We're not the victims, we're the victors. Amen? This world's better because we're here. It's going to be bad when we leave. When the rapture takes place and church goes, I'm telling you, it's going to be rough on this world. Why? Because the blessing has left. The favored ones have vacated the house. But as long as we're here, we actually stay the hand of the devil. We stay the power of the enemy. He can only go so far because we're here. But when we're taken out, whoa, my goodness. All nations are blessed because of us. Man, that's better preaching. Y'all are amen. Turn to Galatians 3. Galatians 3. And let's read there. Galatians, the third chapter. Everybody say, I am called to be a blessing. All right, well, you ought to go out and fulfill your call. Amen. Go out and be a blessed. Be a lifter. Be a lover. Be a helper. Be an encourager. Don't belittle people. You know, to belittle someone is to belittle. Did y'all catch that? If you want to be a big person, don't belittle. That's a play on words. But you ought to lift people. Anybody can cut somebody down. It takes a real man or a real woman to lift someone, encourage someone, to help someone achieve their dreams and tell someone they count, somebody they're important. You know, I read one time in John Maxwell's book, Becoming a Person of Influence. I've read a lot of John Maxwell. I've read a lot of books. But anyway, he said he listed five things in there that everybody needed. It was common to us all. And there is a lot that's common to us. Are you with me? You think you're different. Well, you're gifted differently, but your needs are pretty much the same. All of us, and he lists them, these things. He said everybody wants to be somebody. Do you know that? Everybody wants to be somebody. And the truth is, everybody is somebody. In fact, there's nobody like you. In fact, you know what? You need to be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. It's already taken, all right? Everybody else is already everybody else. But there's nobody like you. And you need to be yourself. You need to understand that you need to be comfortable in your own skin. You are who you are. You're different. And that's the way it ought to be. But you're somebody. Already out there. And see, we ought to encourage people to understand that, to understand their uniques, to appreciate their gifts, to appreciate their uniqueness. Everybody's different, but everybody's got a part to play. I'm not everything, but I'm something. I'm one thing. Amen? I'm not everybody, but I'm this body. I'm somebody. And you might as well be yourself, like I said, because everybody else is already, you know, that's already taken up. It's already been fulfilled. So everybody wants to be somebody, and no one cares how much you know till they know how much you care. They're not impressed by how much you know. They're not impressed how much you have. They're not impressed by any of that, but they are impressed when they know you care. People just want to know you care. That's all. That you really are concerned. That you got time for them. That you'll listen to them. You know, are you with me? So they want to be somebody. They want to know you care. And everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs friendship, encouragement, and help. We all need that. See, there are no lone rangers in this thing. So the idea that they don't need encouragement. You think I don't need encouragement? Are you kidding me? I'll get upset with Brenda if she doesn't tell me how good I preach by the time I get home. She doesn't even understand that, you know. And Brenda's not a real, I don't know, flamboyant, extravagant complimenter. How was that message? That's pretty good. I'm thinking. I thought it was awesome, you know. I thought it was over the top. And she's going, yeah, that was good. That was pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. But see, God knows I need Brenda because of my ego. Because if I had somebody that just lavished praise on me, I'd go, oh, yeah, I am something, aren't I? I'm the most amazing guy. I'm awesome, you know. Anyway. But even I need that. You know, me, you think, oh, you don't need that. You're the preacher. You never go through anything. Are you kidding? I'm just like anybody else. Are you with me? I bet I get a lot of compliments today. But anyway, whatever it takes. Everybody needs somebody, you know. And then everybody can be somebody when somebody understands and believes in them. People need to be believed in and understood. I like that. You know, there's an old, what is that old saying? Oh, who was it? Wasn't Thomas Aquinas, Thomas A. Kempis. I think he said this. He said, don't try to be understood as much as to understand. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in dying that we are born again to eternal life. People want to be understood. We spend our life trying to make people understand us. But people want to be understood. You know, give them time. Listen to their story. You know, everybody got a story to tell. Amen. And then he says, anybody who helps somebody influences a lot of bodies. I like that. I think that's pretty good. If you're going to help people, you're going to influence a lot of people. Period. If you're just out to be the best you can be without trying to help others be the best they can be. If you're just out to achieve your dreams instead of helping others achieve their dreams. If you're just out trying to make it through life instead of just out there trying to help others make it through life, you're going to miss out on your purpose. You're going to miss out on what you're about. My greatest fulfillment is standing here in this pulpit and preaching to you that you can make it and you're somebody and you count and God loves you and He's for you and you can come out of here, walk out of here with a smile on your face and a spring in your step. My greatest joy is that I've helped somebody. I mean, I can say all I want to and try to get all the help I can get, but when I help other people, I get more pleasure out of it than anything. I've never heard anybody go on a mission trip and be involved in helping the poor and crusades and helping people get saved and healed and everything. I've never heard anybody go on a trip that didn't come back better than they went, more blessed than those people that were there, and that was always on their lips. I got such a blessing out of it. I think I got more blessing than they did just from helping someone. If you ever lead somebody to the Lord, you ever pray with them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, snatch. Snatch them out of the jaws of hell and see them get into the kingdom of God. And you had a part of that. You got to pray for them. You got to lead them to the Lord. I'm telling you what, that's the greatest joy there is. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing greater than that. Because we were just made to help others. We were called to be a blessing. And if you want to find your nick and your place in life, and go out and help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. You know what Jesus told the disciples? We just went over this in class this morning. The first thing he said to them, it says he called his 12 disciples and he gave them power over demons to cast them out and sickness that he might heal them. He gave them power to go help suffering, sighing, dying humanity. I mean, it was evident, it was clear, the commitment, the call, their commandment, their commission was clear. Go help people. Woo, that's strong, isn't it? And that's where their joy came from. It says the 70 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. They were rejoicing they could help suffering, sighing, dying humanity, you know. And if you can be a blessing, which is what you're called to do, you actually will be blessed. It's like a circle. God blesses you, or a cycle. God blesses you so you can bless others, but the more you bless others, the more he blesses you. Isn't that right?
Yes.
You feeling down? Go call somebody else that's down and encourage them, lift them. You get out of that mess you're in. You're going through a trial, you're going through a pain. Find somebody else going through it and go help them. Pray for them. You say, well, I really can't do that. Well, you can call somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. Make a cake. Do something. Well, I don't really have anything. Well, you know, I don't think that's the case. I think a lot of us do have things. But, I mean, if you don't, the least you could do is call somebody and pray for somebody, encourage somebody. Write a note. Write a card out. People cry over cards. Did you know that? I do. I get a card, just a little note on it. Somebody saying they just appreciate what I did and you meant so much to me. I just bawl like a baby. I don't tell anybody that unless I'm preaching. But it touches me that, you know what? I count. I made a difference. I helped somebody.
Right.
See, that's just a need in all of us. We want to know we count. We want to know we... Well, the truth is you do count. You just got to get out there and do something. Amen? Go out there and help somebody. Okay, Galatians 3. Did I tell you to turn there?
Yeah.
Good. You want me to read it? Let's do it. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He paid the price. He did what you couldn't do. Okay, quit trying to pay the price for your sin. He already paid for it. Quit listing all your sins. Come on, just look at the receipt. It's paid for. Quit going over all that. It's already done. Don't work that into your budget. It's already paid for. Are you out there? Christ hath, past tense, done already, went and done it, hath, redeemed us, purchased us, paid for us, redeemed, to redeem something, to purchase, to pay for. Are you with me? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. And that's what he did. He hung on that tree, on that cross. Why? For this purpose, that, this intent. Why did Jesus do what he did? We just celebrate that this morning. We just celebrate the fact that he died for our sins and bore stripes on his back. We just did it and remembered what he did. He says, do it in remembrance of me. We just honored him in what we call communion. Why did he do it? What's the purpose? That, for this purpose, that, 14th verse, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. Hey, that's us. You don't get any more Gentile than Will's Point. Come on. Gentile, we Gentiles. I mean, that's us. I don't have a Jew's bone in my body. You know, God bless the Jews. But hey, hallelujah, there's hope for me. I'm a Gentile. I'm mentioned right here. My name is written out. My whole ethnicity is here. Gentile. That'd be me. He says this, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Woo, hallelujah, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. And see, the blessing of Abraham, what, of course, was righteousness in context here, right standing with God. But as we just read, the blessing of Abraham is to be a blessing. And that through us all nations of the earth be blessed. I believe that's what International Outreach Church is about. It's about everybody being blessed through International Outreach Church. I believe this is a place where people come and get healed, come in and get their lives back together, get forgiven, get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost, get their marriages back on track. This is a place where people can get help. This is a refuge in a storm-tossed, storm-driven world. This is a place where you can come and anchor, get the anchor of God for your soul, and you can find help and healing and hope, and you can find destiny, and you can find a future, hallelujah, and you can find out you count. You find out what everybody else says doesn't matter. You can find out that you're somebody. Hallelujah. There's nobody like you. And God loves you. He's crazy about you. He wants to use you. He wants to do something with you and through you. Not just in you, not just with you, but also through you. Hallelujah. To reach suffering, sighing, dying humanity. Amen. Yeah. Blessing. That's what we're called to do. We're often called and accused of being a bless me church, but actually we're a blessing church. We're about blessing others. Amen. That's why I love international outreach. We're about outreach. You know, we're about reaching out to our neighbors, reaching out to our brothers and sisters, our family immediately first, of course, and then our neighbors, and then our Jerusalem, you know, Will's Point, and then our Samaria and uttermost parts of the world. That's where our missions come in, you know. But we don't just have missions foreign. We have missions local. Food Bank, Hallelujah Night, are you with me? The church itself. And then we reach out from that. But you are called to be a blessing. I don't know what, you may just be trying to get by, and that's a start. Everybody starts somewhere. You may be just trying to get back on your feet. That's okay. God wants you to get back on your feet. You don't go to second grade until you go through first grade. But God forbid you to stay in first grade. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with being in first grade, but you just don't want to stay there. You want to go to second grade. Amen? Then you want to go to third. You want to just keep going. So God helps you, and God gets you on your feet so you can help others get on their feet. Because this ultimately is what we're all called to do, is to be a blessing. Genesis 22, turn there with you, if you will. This helping you? Amen. Hallelujah. I have to remind myself of this from time to time and keep my perspective straight. I count because somebody told me I did. You know, I can make a difference because somebody told me I can make a difference. Somebody believed in me. Somebody impacted my life. You know, I think of some Brother Osteen, of course, I often refer to John Osteen. It's amazing, in 32 years, I'm still talking about Brother Osteen. And I still refer to him, and I still quote him. But, you know, he was a person that made an impact on my life. He was a person that changed the direction of my life. He was a person that preached in a manner, and I mean, we didn't spend a lot of time. I talked to him, of course, a lot of times personally, but his preaching, his teaching, his witness, his life, his testimony, let's put it that way. It impacted me, stirred me, just stirred me to greater heights, stirred me to climb a little higher, to rise above the wrecks of life, as it were, to climb out of the mess and out of the wreck, and to get up on my feet, to keep going and keep getting on my feet, keep getting back up and keep going and reach out and help people. It just encouraged me, to make it, that I could make it, that I did count, that I was somebody, you know. And there's always somebody in your life that does that, that God uses to help you and put you on your feet again. And he just impacted me eternally. I will eternally be grateful to my pastor, John Osteen. And thank God for his son, Joe, doing such a good job. I am so proud of Joe. I mean, people criticize Joe. People love Joe. If you're... If you're as popular as Joel is, you're going to get criticism. That's just the way it is. You can't be that popular and not get criticism. People don't like you telling people to be happy. Yeah. They're offended that you would tell people that they can actually come out of the mess they're in. And they get mad when you tell them, you know, that God actually loves them and they can be forgiven. I don't know why that is, but people get mad about that. They got mad at Jesus for saying that. They got mad at Jesus telling sinners they could be saved. They got mad at Jesus because he actually hung around them. But Joe's doing such an awesome job. But I am not surprised. I was originally, you know, when he started preaching, because he never had preached before. But when you consider what a daddy he had, can you consider the church he came out of, his daddy was his pastor? How could he be anything but a blessing? Really, he couldn't help himself. He had to be a blessing. His dad was a blessing. His dad preached that same thing. He preached a little stronger maybe than Joe. Joe's not much of a preacher. He's more of a speaker. But his heart, his passion, his love for people is so evident. And, you may not be convinced, but I'll tell you, Joe's convinced. He's convinced about what he's preaching on. He's seen it. He's lived it. He's grown up in it. Hallelujah. And you need to pay attention. You may not be convinced you can make it, but Joe's convinced you can make it. Because he's got a glimpse of God. He's got a glimpse of heaven. He's got a glimpse of God's word. You may not be convinced you make it, but I'm convinced you can make it. Oh, it's been God's done too much in my life to say anything other than that. I mean, you can't convince me any other way. I know God can change your life. I know He can turn you around. I know He can put you back on your feet again. He did it for me.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll tell you, the guy with the testimonies can trump the guy with the doctrine any day of the week. I mean, I got a testimony. And I believe the doctrine, it's there, but I'm convinced because of the testimony. I've experienced it. I've lived it. I've seen it happen. Hallelujah. And He did it for me. He'll do it for you. Amen. Hey, real quickly, let's wrap this up. Man, I never get through everything I want to get through. Genesis 22:15 says this, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time." 16th verse, "And said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son," this is when he sacrificed his son, God would have stopped him, "thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply thee. Multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." I love that. Man, he reiterated what he said, but also he said, "In blessing I bless thee." I love that, because as I'm blessing, I'm blessed. Isn't that right? What did Jesus say? He said, "Give and it shall be given to you." God gives as I give. God blesses as I bless. Woo! Isaiah 55:10-11 says this, "As the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it'll prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, and where the thing he sent it to." Amen? Amen. But back up in that 10th verse, it says, "He gives seed to the sower." I think we got the whole thing backwards. We say, "God give us seed, we'll sow." God says, "You sow, I'll give you seed." We say, "God bless us, and we'll bless somebody." He said, "You go bless somebody, and I'll bless you." We say, "God give us something, we'll give it to you." He says, "You go give, and it'll be given to you. In blessing, I will bless thee." You want to find your purpose in life? Go help somebody. You want to find... Are you... You come out of a shell. You will. It'll wake you up.
Come on.
Hallelujah. I can help somebody. Yes, you can. Go do it. And then you'll start a cycle. Oh, my goodness. You'll start a cycle of blessing. They'll come back to you because God blesses you when you bless people. Woo. In blessing, I will bless you. Hey, last verse. Turn to 1 Peter 3. This helping you? I'm stirring myself up. Don't go home, close the doors, turn the lights out, lock all the doors, and unplug the phone.
Yeah.
No, come on. Don't do that. Well, I'm having a down day. Well, get up. Amen. Put on my blues music, turn the lights out, and enjoy this depression. It's almost like we deserve it. You know, you get sick, and you think, I'm gonna enjoy this sickness, you know. Eat soup and watch TV all day long and don't answer the phone and cry. Yeah. Soup and crackers. Yeah. And then we get down and we still put on blues. We don't want to hear happy music. We're sad. Oh, man, come on. Open up the curtains. Let the light in. Put on a happy song or something, you know. Goodness. Call somebody. Amen. Help somebody. Reach out to somebody. Okay. 1 Peter 3, last verse. 1 Peter 3, verse 9. "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing," that's fighting fire with fire, "but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing." Now notice that thereunto called, we're not called to inherit a blessing, we're called to be a blessing, which calls us to inherit a blessing. We're not called to rail, we're not called to... render evil for evil. We're called to be a blessing. Pray for those that persecute and despitefully use you, is what Jesus said. We're called to help. We're called to lift. Sometimes people that are, even you're dealing with in the world, that are all, you know, rude and crude and indignant, they're going through a hard time. You don't know what they're going through. Might be going through a divorce, might have lost a, a loved one or something. You know, you just don't know. And we just jump back at them sometimes, you know, especially in the business world, the service world. I know Brent and I were, this weekend messing around trying to get the new iPhone, you know. My contract's up, and I was going to get the new iPhone, and hello, you better have some patience there. Anyway, we talked for over an hour on the phone. They couldn't process the order, and the lady kept apologizing. We understand. I mean, it's not her fault. Like, she did it. It's all her fault. Like the waitress that, you know, is responsible for the way the food tastes or responsible for the restaurant's lights or something. The waitress is working there. Give her a break. Come on. Everybody wants to chew and rag on the cashier, rag on the waitress, and they're the lowest person on the totem pole. They're just trying to work and get a job, you know. Find out who the manager is. Jump on his case. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm just saying, you know how we do, you know. And so the lady finally just told us, you just got to go to an AT&T store. We can't process. Something wrong with the system. We can't get through. Over an hour on the phone. And so we actually went to AT&T place, and after an hour there, poor little guy, his name was Omar. Yeah, but he wasn't a Muslim. I mean, there's no way, because I think he was all tatted out and pierced ears and everything. But anyway, nice little guy. I felt sorry for him, you know, and he was going through. We got a manager. He came back in about an hour, couldn't process the order. Everything just locked in, locked down. They can't get through, can't get orders through. You can't even, can you imagine? They've got this new phone. You can't buy it. You can go try buy it, but you can't get it. I mean, the frustration just gets high, and you're thinking, this poor little guy, I felt sorry for him. I thought, why jump on his case? It's not his fault. He's as frustrated as we are. He's embarrassed and everything. He's trying to, I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on, you know. I mean, but we naturally like to rail, don't we? We just like to lash out, jump on somebody, and hit the first person. When I was a kid, my mama used to spank me, and she'd spank me, and I'd go in a circle like this, running around her. While she's holding one arm, she's spanking my other. My brother'd stand over here just laughing at me the whole time. And when I come back around, I would slap him every time I come back around, because I wanted to lash out at somebody. True story. God didn't call us to that, amen. He called us to be a blessing. And you'll find hope and life and victory. You'll find purpose, a reason to get up and sleep good at night, too, if you'll just reach out to people and help people. Quit being so mean. You're just hurting yourself. Do you know that? The hater hurts. Really does. You and I are called to be a blessing.